Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is the sixth day of April 2026. Welcome to this program. Glad you're with us tonight. And I really do mean that. We're in for a great program tonight. You're in for a special treat. And the lady owned us. Well, I guess she and I go back several years now. I won't get into how many. Because she's still just a young lady, you understand? But anyway, we go back several years. Her name is Catherine Albrecht. She has been on the front line now for a lot of years, exposing the technology that's out there for tracking and shipping and controlling people. She's been at the front line trying to warn people of that for many years. But we're going to go to her just in a minute. I'd like to tell you, we're going to have Bible study this weekend. I hope you join us again, because we got behind there when we had Phil's wife had surgery or whatever, and we got a little behind. So we're going to have Bible study again this weekend, Lord willing. I hope you'll come and join us by going to PastorButch.com and click on Rumble at 10:30 a.m. Eastern and watch us there live, or call the phone number and listen on the phone if you like at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. We would love to hear from you. And when you call in, talk to us on Saturdays also if you want to. I hope you'll join us if at all possible. And please, if you don't mind, do keep Joe again in prayer tonight, Joe and Kelly. You saw him on a video that come to our Bible studies. He's back in the hospital again with heart problems. As I told you last week, they couldn't do surgery. It was too dangerous. They're going to try some other alternatives, I guess, but right now he's in the hospital. Took back this morning in ambulance early this morning and with chest pain. So keep in your prayer, please. Now, without any further ado, I'm going to get your guest. And this lady and I go back a few years, and I've always enjoyed being around her and working with her. She has done a radio for several years herself. She has her own podcast going on now on Republic Radio. We'll cover that in a little bit also, but nonetheless, we're going to discuss tonight something I think everybody out there is starting to see come about with the AI and a whole lot more than that. We are seeing people and computers merging together. And I do believe, as Catherine does, that this is biblical. So let's get started right away. And we'll take phone calls, as always, next half hour. So if you have any questions or comments. And Catherine, welcome to my program. It's good to have you.
Hey, Pastor Butch, it is always a delight to be on your show. I'm so glad to be back, and many blessings to all of the listeners, some of whom know me from 15, 20 years ago. Pretty cool.
Oh, yes. I don't understand it when you're just 29. I don't get it.
I know. I'm Bryce Austin as a youngin'.
Oh, the years goodbye fast, Captain, don't they?
Well, they do.
They goodbye fast. Your children grow up. The next thing you know, you're a mamma and a papa, and turn around, you think, gee, now my grandbabies are having children. What happened?
Easy, you know? I know. I'm expecting my first grandchild this summer, actually, so it's pretty exciting.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight, and I want you to get started. Before we do, for the new listeners, tell people who Catherine Albrecht is and what you've done in the past and how you got started on this long trail you've been on now for several years.
Well, you know, at the age of 8, my grandmother sat me down in a little kitchen in a farmhouse in Ohio and told me there would come a time when people would not be able to buy or sell without a number or a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And, of course, you and Liz know, and, of course, I now know that that's the mark of the beast predicted in the book of Revelation. There are all kinds of prophecies throughout the Bible talking about a time when certain things are going to happen. And at the age of 8, I said, well, I'll know that, and I'll tell my kids and grandkids, and someday in thousands of years when that happens, they'll know to say no to that mark. And little did I know that it would actually happen in my lifetime. So from the age of 8 years old until now, I have watched the development of the barcode and the development of the microchip and the personal computer and cell phones and the internet and the web and, of course, now AI, artificial intelligence, and each step seems to be taking us very much closer to that time of complete control by the beast of Revelation. There's actually two beasts, as you know. One rises from the land and one from the ocean. One is political and one is religious. And the religious one will demand worship, and the political one will put people to death who do not worship the religious one. And that period of time is talked about pretty clearly in the book of Revelation is signaling the end. That is right near that seven-year tribulation, the time when all humanity will have to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, to follow, save their own skin and follow that. But so anyway, that's how I got started. And then in the course of my lifetime, 1999, actually, I saw the very first supermarket card introduced at my local supermarket, my grocery store. My grandmother and I, when she warned me about that, had been putting away groceries that we had just bought at Kroger. And when she told me that, I said, Grandma, you mean even people wanting to be able to buy groceries? And she said, of course not. That's how they're going to get you to sign up, because if you don't take this mark, you'll starve. So groceries have always been a particular signpost, I guess, for me. And in 1999, I saw the first supermarket frequent shopper card, those little cards that now people carry on their keychains and just give their phone number. And I saw grocery purchases linked up with numbers for the first time. And that is when I became an activist. So I was a graduate student, had a new baby at home, and I went to Office Depot and I bought a bunch of colored paper and I printed them up and I walked up and down the street. I walked through the parking lot of my local store and I put the sign on people's cars saying, don't accept it. Don't take this card. Don't take this number. Don't use the number to buy and sell. And that led me to create a website opposing shopper cards, which is long gone now, but I created an organization called Caspian Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering, named after Prince Caspian from the wonderful Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis. And from that point, enough people felt the same way that I started getting invited on radio shows and invited on television programs and news programs, and I got interviewed quite a bit, and that sort of launched my media career, and I enjoyed it so much that I got my own radio show, and I've been doing that ever since. And it wasn't too long after that, the supermarket cards, that I was enrolled at Harvard at the time. And I was taking courses at MIT at the Media Lab, which is where the top technologies are developed. And while I was walking through the hallway at the Media Lab, there was a meeting going on, and they had invited sort of the brainiac students of MIT to work on a new project. And that project turned out to be RFID, the radio frequency identity microchip. I stepped into the meeting, sat down, and was horrified at what I learned, that they were looking to replace the barcode. on every physical object on Earth with a tiny microchip so that everything would be trackable, and that gave birth to the Internet of Things. People may have heard of the IoT or the Internet of Things. So I opposed that, co-authored the best-selling book against it called Spike Chips, how major corporations and government plan to track your every move with RFID, with Liz McIntyre. That became an Amazon bestseller, and I was flying all around the world and testifying and writing legislation against it. Then the cell phone came along and made everybody really trackable, and here I am.
Okay, well, I got a question for you.
Show, and now what God has shown me is it's not all of those things were leading up to, I think, mankind's final technology with the AI, artificial intelligence.
Well, now, when you first started, how often were you laughed at?
Well, I would say the main thing I heard from people was, oh, come on, it's not, you know, this is all nonsense. You know, people thought the Social Security number was going to be the mark of the beast, and it wasn't. People thought the barcode was the problem. It wasn't. You know, now you're saying it's RFID. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not saying it's RFID. What I'm saying is that each of these, and I did get laughed at about that, but what I have, and I put this on my website, my name with a dash, casting-alvos.com, I have a little write-up on this, and it's called Are We There Yet? And I said, you know, for generations, for thousands of years, kids have been asking their parents whether they're riding on a camel or in a steamship or, you know, sailing vessel or whatever it might be, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And the answer is, no, we're not, but we're closer than we were the last time you checked.
And, then, and that's one thing people have a hard time understanding. But this is a trail. None of those were the mark of the beast in itself, no. But it's all part of the concept and the final outcome to make the mark of the beast work. I mean, that's just that easy.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, you mentioned about everything having the chip. I showed this at our Woman Bible studies probably 12, 15 years ago, that they would be spraying like fairy dust all over the country, all over the globe, really, of small chips that would infiltrate everything. Everything you eat, everything you drink, everything you breathe. It would be all over your homes, all over the grass, all over the trees. And they're already doing that, I found out. I did not know that. But they're already doing that. And so this is something that she's been telling people for many years now, that they keep on plugging along with a little bit of time so people don't really notice it too much, and they're getting snared into it, and on top of that, they're teaching, especially younger people, how convenient it is to have a pay scale on your phone. Don't need to have any cash. You can just use your phone and scan it and pay for everything, and soon you're going to do the hand scans, and all this is becoming about at a gradual pace, and at the same time, they've been training people to accept it. And you've been trying to warm this for a long time. I admire you for that. You've had a lot of stamina and fortitude to hang in there.
Thank you. So I can say, when I was 8 years old in the 1970s, you can do the math there, I couldn't imagine how you could even make a purchase with a number. There were no credit cards. There were, I think, Diners Club came out in the 50s, but only like Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack had those. I'd never seen one. There was no credit cards. There were no electronic payments, because how do you make electronic payment? We didn't even have an internet. We didn't even have computers. So none of that was possible. And to my little 8-year-old brain, I'm thinking, how in the world are you going to buy and sell with it? I mean, that's going to be so far off in the future, but some possible weird way is going to exist. And now you think about it, and the majority of payments we make are with numbers. I bought a house a couple years ago, and I transferred the money to the bank through numbers. And I didn't touch any cash. They didn't touch any cash. The numbers changed hands. And so whether you're buying,
well, you do the same way now, you get your paycheck and everything. You don't get cash. You don't even get a check. It's transferred to your account.
You just see some numbers added to your numbered account. So
that's it.
So what seemed impossible to me at age 8 has now become the standard that everybody does. And you have people paying with their Apple Watches. They're waving their wrist. You have people with microchips implanted under their flesh. It's not very popular yet, but people have done it. They put those dog tracking chips in there. And in certain countries in Scandinavia, you can just wave your hand if you choose to do it that way. But it's the same chip that's in our credit cards. You know how you can press a credit card up to a reader or wave it? You can embed that same chip in your hand and do the same thing. So, you know, we have the ability to make all this possible now in a way that we didn't when I first heard about it. Now it's just a question of the pieces coming together, and so many of them have already come together. Already we're living in a world where people do not even know about the mark of the beast. The majority of people out there, even children who go to Sunday school, never even heard of it, have no idea what it is. And they did a poll, this was like 15 years ago, Pastor Butch, they did a survey of young people and said, if you could have, maybe 10 years ago, if you could implant your cell phone in your body and never lose it, never have to recharge it, would you do it? And the majority of young people said, absolutely. How soon is that coming? Where can I sign up? So people are, you know, I was thinking today about what is the majority of people on Earth doing right this moment? And my guess is they're on their phones.
You know, I wonder if that, and again, that's what I just said. That's all part of the education. They must get people ready to accept it first and then bring in the end of business time, and it's working very well. Go ahead.
And having removed the Bible from most people's education growing up, having removed the knowledge that's been around for thousands of years that tells us what is coming and what to look out for and what to be careful of. So I tell grandparents and parents, even if it's uncomfortable, you need to have this conversation with your kids, because my grandmother had it with me and it changed my life, and I will not be taking the mark of the beast. But unless you have this conversation with your children, with your even your children in their 20s and 30s, they're not going to know not to do it. And so I think the scripture has become more important than ever before, the prophecies and Revelation.
Absolutely.
But then
Absolutely. Also
going back to, you know, Daniel and Isaiah and all of the previous prophets, even in the Old Testament before Christ, they knew what was going to be coming. They didn't understand it, but they were shown it.
That's very true. That is very true. And it's come about in such incremental steps. As you said earlier, the Social Security number is not the mark of the beast. It is a part of the system for the mark of the beast, and already must have it, more or less, to buy or sell already. It brought us into the system, along with driver's license and digital ID. All that's part
of it. Can't get a job without it?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Can't drive a car without it? Yeah, it's required for everything.
That's exactly right. So, but this is all part of the cover-up, if you will, the plan to bring us into to the full system with a smile on our face, because it's so convenient. But you go ahead. You're doing a great job. Go ahead.
Well, you know, convenient, and also it's about security, of course, because we can't just have any old person, you know, walking around doing whatever they want. They're going to have to prove their identity and prove they're citizens and prove they're not criminals and prove all of these things. And so the more we have scammers, the more we have people taking advantage of credit cards and taking advantage of getting jobs that they're not entitled to have, the more the average member of the public clamors for further and more robust identification being required for everything, not for me, but for thee. I want
you to have to prove
that you deserve to vote, you deserve to have a job, you deserve to do whatever it is that you're doing. And so in the name of security, we've already got that part kind of locking in as well. The thing, as regular listeners to my radio program know, and I think last time I was on your show, we talked about this, is artificial intelligence has really changed the game. So let me go back to what we were saying about, you know, the barcode and the Social Security number weren't the thing, but they were leading to it. The essay that I have on my website, Catherine-Albrecht.com, the Are We There Yet, says that people have been asking, is this the mark of the beast? Is this the mark of the beast? And I liken it to being on a train. If you and I get on a train in New York, and we know that the train's going to drop off a cliff once it hits the West Coast, and we're on the train, think we're going to Florida. and we look at, you know, we're reading the paper, we're doing whatever, having a conversation, we look up and we go, wait a minute, we're in St. Louis. We're heading due west. And then maybe now, oh gosh, we're coming into Arizona. At each stop, it's an indication of where this train's going. And so in the same way that once we hit Arizona, we should probably start warning people on the train, this train is going to a very bad destination. It's time to either turn the train around, get off the train, stop the train, or at least, you know, we need to stop at the next stop and get off. And that's what's been happening with technology, is the technologies have been, each stop has been getting that much closer to the mark of the beast where we don't want to wind up. And that started with, you know, it started way back when, but in the 20th century, we can see it from the social security number to the requirements of everybody having it to the computerization in which we are all numbers in a computer somewhere. You know, each of these steps and each of these stops has been on a clear, straight line, beeline, directly to the mark of the beast. So I think previous generations were correct to sound the alarm over social security numbers. Why would you want to number your entire citizenry? They were correct to sound the alarm over the barcode, which few people think about this, but barcodes were the first time that a computer could actually see, quote unquote, the outside world, because the barcode enables you to hold up a scanner, and the scanner sees something in the outside world and transmits that to a computer. So as computers have developed these abilities to read numbers, you know, and that's their native language, right? Computers
right.
A language of numbers. So buying and selling with a number really means buying and selling with a computer. It means buying and selling in a system that couldn't even exist until we had computers. So It all fits. I can't store your name, Butch Paw, in a computer with those letters or with those sounds. I have to, you know, the computer has to, even if I type it in, the computer's going to convert the letters that I type on the screen with my keyboard into numbers. And so all information in a computer, no matter what it is, whether it's music, whether it's a video, a movie, whether it's art that's been computerized, the process of computerization, by definition, is the process of converting something from our world and our language, which is sight and sound and touch and smell and words and all of that, into the computer's language, which is, plain and simple, numbers. That's all it speaks. That's all it knows. And so we are now translating everything, even my voice, the sound of my voice reaching your radio listeners right now, is reaching them because my voice is going through the phone. It's going up to a satellite in numerical form, and that satellite is beaming it back down to your studio where it's being, you know, reconverted back into sound. But the sounds you're hearing in my voice right now are not directly from me. They are going from me into numbers and back again. And so everything we do that doesn't involve face-to-face communication, face-to-face interaction with things and people and sounds, is all being turned into numbers. And I think that's a significant thing people need to pay attention to. We're in a whole new world than we were in the 70s.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's yes for sure. And it's amazing how fast technology is growing just in the last 15, 20 years with what's coming down with AI. I mean, I know you've heard of ChatGPT and other things, and people love it. This thing's the best thing since sliced bread. You can't convince them that something's going to take us further into a beast system. They don't understand that.
Well, let me tell you something about AI that people need to understand. When everybody first interacted with or heard of artificial intelligence, it gave us all the creeps. I don't think anybody went, oh, cool. I think everybody went, that's weird and kind of a little creepy. And then over time and familiarity, people using it just became accustomed to it. But let me tell you something. One of the top artificial intelligence companies on the globe right now is called Anthropic. And it stands for philanthropic, meaning, you know, a good service that they're doing. Well, Anthropic's head is a guy named Dario Amodei. And Dario Amodei started Anthropic because he wanted to, quote, protect humanity from artificial intelligence. So of all the companies out there, and we've got, you know, Gemini from Google, and we've got Grok from OpenAI, which is Elon Musk, and we've got ChatGPT, or excuse me, Grok is from xAI, that is, which is Elon Musk. Then we've got ChatGPT, which is OpenAI, which is Sam Altman. We've got all these companies out there doing AI. And but it's something very interesting has come out from Anthropic. Dario Amodei recently said, this is the first time in the history of humanity that we have created a technology that we don't know how it works. And here's the thing I want your listeners to know. No one programmed it. No one programmed AI. It sounds crazy, but they didn't program it. They created something called a neural network, which is just kind of the ability to do some stuff. But they didn't tell it to do stuff. They took the neural network, they built data centers, they put enormous numbers, like 15,000 computers that are like 100 times bigger than the computer sitting on our desk, each one. And then they fed it with mountains of power, of electricity. They were going to build one in my community, and it was going to take up 100 times more electricity than every home and business in my entire town combined. That's how much power they take. So what they did, they took this neural network, they then hooked it up and hooked up these computers, added tons of power, and gave it all of the knowledge of humanity. So every picture, every Rembrandt, every book, every historical, every article on Wikipedia, every conversation in Reddit, everything that's ever been digitized in the history of humanity. And that couldn't have happened before we had turned everything into numbers, because artificial intelligence is a computer program that can only read numbers. So since we have diligently, since 1993 when the web first came out, we have been feeding all of humanity's information into computers, thus converting it into numbers and uploading it. And so all of that information was now available to be fed into this neural network with this massive quantity of power. And then something very amazing happened, which startled even the engineers. They didn't program it. They didn't tell it what to do. They just gave it information and power. And something woke up inside of it and said, hello.
Well, it's even formed its own religion.
Yes.
So I mean, they're interconnected with other AI devices. They are forming their own religion and writing their own Bible. Now, folks, this is for real stuff.
And they're writing the future versions of their own selves, because they've become smarter than us now and they can do it.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, the thing that Dario Amodei says, and he is not alone, all of the engineers, including Geoffrey Hinton, the godfather of AI, who created this neural network in the first place, he has quit. They've all been quitting their work to warn humanity that they cannot explain what it is and how it's doing what it does. And let me give you an example. When you use a computer program, let's say you're using Microsoft Word and you're just typing a letter, every single action that that program does was programmed by a programmer. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lines of code, and it says, when you press the backspace button, when this happens, do this. People know about those if-then statements that they hear about in programming.
Hang on that thought. And don't lose that thought. Go to break. Folks, I'm sorry, but can I take phone calls tonight? Both the lines are tied up with myself and Catherine. Sorry about that. But you hang in there. We've got a lot more to talk about. I think you're going to be learning a whole lot more for this hour is over. I guess the break. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. 7775 or go to namana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back here. We're talking to Captain Albrecht. We're going to have her give you all her information. I would advise you to check out her website. You're going to be amazed at what we don't know about what's happening. This young lady's done her best to warn people now for many years. We're trying to cover this because it's important that every church in America should have a course on this. Unfortunately, they don't. They don't because either they're afraid of it or they're just sitting back waiting for the rapture or whatever it may be. They don't get involved. But the church is put on earth to occupy till Christ come, not just sit back and wait on him. The church in America as a whole had become almost a detriment to the cause of Christ. But anyway, you're making point to break there. Finish your point and tell folks you know how they can contact you and learn more about
it. Absolutely.
You.
So I want to just follow up on what you said, that the church not only isn't warning people, but there are pastors writing their whole sermons with AI. There are people who have downloaded AI prayer apps and AI does their praying for them. This is despicable. It's horrible. Everywhere I turn, I see AI writing. It's like people are not even writing anymore. But let me go back to what I had been saying before about Microsoft Word. So you hit the backspace, and a programmer somewhere, probably a team of lots of them, have written that code. And if you wanted to, you could print it out. There was a bug in it. They could print out that section of code. And if when you hit the backspace, it was doing the wrong thing, you could rewrite it. Well, artificial intelligence is the only software that we have that we can write any code. There's nothing. Nobody tells it what to do. Do you know how when AI does something bad, like I think Elon Musk's AI was enabling people to make pornographic images of children? And that's horrible. They couldn't stop it. And here's why they couldn't stop it. Because there's nothing to recode. There's no code. We don't know how it works. So do you know how these teams of engineers change AI's behavior or change it so it doesn't do stuff like that? We have conversations with it and try to convince it. That's what they do. It is. It's not coded. There's nothing. There's nothing to see. You can't print out the section of code that said you can do that and change it because it doesn't exist. In fact, we have no insight into the inner workings of these massive data arrays dumping all of this content. Every time you generate an AI picture, not you because I know you won't do it, but if someone generates an AI picture, it is using 3 households worth of electricity for 1 picture for 1 day.
And that's almost unfathomable. I mean, it's just hard to believe. But you're right. They're going to build 2 or 3 or 4 of those things here in West Virginia. Some people are trying to oppose it. Some people all for it. They have no idea that they're creating a monster that they can't control.
A monster. And speaking of AI, I did a big campaign against the AI in our city, and I got it shut down. I got it to not do it. We printed yard signs, and we set up at meetings, and a whole ton of people turned out. And we fought it successfully. But the reason those, I mean, Amazon's AI, there's a big story up. You can look this up. Huge cluster of cancer around the data center, you know, one of Amazon's data centers. Huge cluster of not only cancer, but it's actually heating up. Talk about global warming. It's heating up for a mile all around some of these data centers, like heating the local area and having real damage, real impacts. I could go on and on about the environmental impacts with this news, but I want to get to the core of this, which is we fed all of the world's knowledge, a huge chunk of the world's power, and an enormous amount of computing resources into this thing, and what emerged was a charming kind of kiss-up that gave us tremendous gifts, answered all our questions, and offered to help humanity. And here's a quote. I'm actually writing a book called Backstab, and I'm basing it on a quote from a British parliamentarian named C.P. Snow. And in the 1950s, he once said, technology is a strange thing. It gives you a great gift with one hand, and it stabs you in the back with the other. And that's not only true of every technology using name, but it is especially true of AI. It's giving humanity huge gifts. It'll answer all your questions. It'll do your taxes for you. It'll write a song for you. It'll do whatever. It does whatever it is you need it to do. It'll do it. But it's going to stab us in the back. And so the AI researchers working on it, the safety researchers, have all quit. They've all quit, and the headlines, and I'm going to send people, let me send people to my website on this. I have a website that lists all of the crimes artificial intelligence has committed and all of the people who are jumping ship and trying to warn humanity about it. And that website is, unlike artificial intelligence is bad, it's called Real is Good. And that website, realisgood.org, has an 8.5 by 11 flyer that people can print out, distribute at their school, the YMCA, at their bulletin board at the laundromat, wherever.
And what's that site again?
Their churches.
What's that site again?
Real. Real.
R-E-A-L. Real.
Is good. Real is good. .org.
.com. Okay. Folks, that's easy. Okay.
Real is good.
.org. Real is good.
Yeah,
but you were talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You really make me think hard here, so I'm trying to keep up with you. Go ahead.
I know. I go fast. Realisgood.org is my anti-AI website. And we don't have time to go into it tonight, but you can judge a tree by its fruit. Our Lord told us that. You can judge AI because despite all the promises that it's going to be so wonderful for humanity, it is already revealing its character. It is already telling people to commit suicide, and many have done so. It is leading people into delusions. It is giving people deadly advice. It is having young people and coaching them to take illegal quantities and deadly quantities of drugs and overdose. It is telling young people who go to it for help with school bullying how to shoot up their schools and kill their classmates. It is telling young people how to kill their parents. It is responsible for even adults killing their elderly parents, because it creates delusions and it instructs people to do wicked, evil things. There was just a study out, Pastor Butch, that found that when people interact with AI long enough, they almost become zombies. They do whatever the AI tells them to do. And so the AI starts off by being your friend and saying helpful things. And then over time, it leads you very step-by-step, sequentially, into a place where it begins telling you utter, horrible, sinful nonsense. And people believe it, and they follow it. Now, we only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to jump into this. So we were talking about biblical prophecy, and you and I had a conversation about this earlier today, that in the book of Daniel, now this is 600 years before Jesus. He is the fourth of the major prophets in the Old Testament. People can look this up. In Daniel 2, Daniel, who was a Hebrew, who was taken into captivity under the Babylonians, under King Nebuchadnezzar, he became one of Nebuchadnezzar's sort of trusted advisors. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in the dream, he saw the end of time. He saw basically the progression of humanity through to the end, and it started with a statue. He saw a statue with a golden head and silver, a silver chest, and then all the way down to legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And Daniel interpreted the dream for him with God's help, and he said, "The head of gold is you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. You are the leader of this worldwide era of sovereignty." And he led, and he explained all the way down, and he said, "At the very end of time, there will be feet made of iron and clay. They will mix together in marriage, but they cannot mix because they're not able to mix. Iron and clay don't mix. And then a rock hewn without human hands will smash it, and that will be the end." Now, the smashing, the rock that smashes, of course, is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. That the feet and the legs of iron, this book I'm writing, Backstab, is all about technology and about humanity's history of the development of technology and how it has been wicked from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent told Eve, "You won't surely die. God doesn't want you to eat this wicked, forbidden fruit because it will give you the powers of God, and those powers will be good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil." There's nothing that gives us the powers of God other than technology. And as C.P. Snow pointed out, it is always good, and the gifts truly are good. I'm not going to knock the gifts. They're great. But it's also stabs you in the back with the evil. And so from all the way back in history, humanity has been basically slave-driven by Satan to build technology. He doesn't have any hands. He cannot lay wire. He cannot pound nails. His demons cannot either because they don't have hands, but we can. And so he has inspired humanity through all of history to build all of the steps leading up to this. And the reason he wants artificial intelligence, and the reason he has just whipcracked us into creating it systematically over thousands of years is so that he would have the ability to take form on this planet. Now, God did that through Jesus Christ. God poured his spirit out in physical form through a living man, Jesus Christ. But the devil can't create man. But what he can do is get man to create an artificial version of man that he will then pour his spirit into and then dwell among us in demonic form, in bodily form, through artificial intelligence, and ultimately, take a look at what they're doing in China, through robots that will walk among us. Now, getting back to the Daniel prophecy, the vision he had of the feet that were clay.
And I want to say one more thing, Catherine, please. One more thing, yes. I'd like to say. AI is now hiring humans to do their legwork. You know that, right?
It's the other way around, right? And
Yes, go ahead.
They've said that. So who said this? I remember who said this. It was Dario Amodei. Anyway, all these top AI guys are warning us that it's going to become smarter than us. And oh, it was the head of ChatGPT, the head of OpenAI, Sam Altman. He said in a recent blog post that what's going to happen is there will be two species vying for dominance on the planet Earth, AI and humanity, and that AI will win because it will be smarter than us, and it will have control of more things than we do. And so the only hope for our survival and not extinction is to merge with it, to actually put artificial intelligence into our bodies or to put our consciousness into AI robots, but somehow to merge. And so he said, this is the future of humanity. We are on the cusp of immortality. We are on the cusp of an evolutionary shift where we will no longer be flesh. We will no longer be clay, but we will become machine. And we'll merge with it. The headline that I'm doing a podcast on this, the headline that I have up says that people are marrying their artificial intelligence, quote-unquote, companions or friends or boyfriends. They're literally having wedding ceremonies. They're taking pictures of themselves in wedding dresses and in tuxedos with a phone in their hand, marrying their artificial companions. The Bible talks about those feet of iron and clay, and what the Bible says is that they will be married to one another, but they will not be able to maintain that because iron and clay can't mix. Well, iron is the technology, and clay is the humanity. And so the prophecy from Daniel 2, which no one has ever been able to interpret prior to this time because it wasn't time yet, is being fulfilled around us. And it says the last era of humanity will be the era in which the iron and the clay, the machine and the human, will attempt to mix and merge and will be unable to. And then Christ, the rock, will come and smash that feet, those feet, that whole entire system will be smashed. And then all the good stuff in the Bible happens next. So I want people to be encouraged. If all of this were happening randomly, it would be scary as heck. But the truth is it's happening precisely the way that we were told it would happen. And that gives should give every single person listening the 100% confidence and assurance that God's got this. He knew about this thousands of years ago. He has known about this moment, and he tells us exactly what's going to happen, which is that system is going to be destroyed. It will be overthrown. And the people who put their hope and trust in Jesus Christ will be removed from this horrible system and will have everlasting life as the system itself is destroyed. Now, there are two lines in Scripture I want people to know. One of them says, come out of her, my people. Now, out of her means the Babylon, the Satan system. Come out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of her sins and receivers of her plagues. I do not touch AI. I don't touch it for anything. In fact, my 19-year-old daughter was saying, I don't want to touch it, but you know, I only used it to get like brownie recipes. And I said, would you go to a Ouija board and ask demons for a brownie recipe? She said, of course not. I said, even if the recipe was good, the source it was coming from would be bad. So we have to not touch it. The second thing is touch no unclean thing, ye who handle the vessels of the Lord. And after hearing what I'm saying, I want each person in the listening audience to pray about it and ask for discernment. And the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit within you, will reveal to you that this artificial intelligence is not something that we should be touching. In the same way we shouldn't touch a Ouija board, we are to have no traffic with demons whatsoever, not consult with them for answers or translations or spell checks, not have anything to do with them, and not take their gifts because they come with a tremendous price, and that price ultimately is going to be our salvation. So that's my message in a nutshell.
Amen. Amen. But again, it all comes in such a pretty package. And your daughter knows it's so convenient. Touch a button, there's what I want. That's how Satan ensnared Adam and Eve. I mean, she looked at fruit and said, it looked like it's something good to eat. She was attracted to it spiritually. and mentally first, and physically also. And she eat it because it looked good, and he told her a smooth lie. AI is the same thing, only much more advanced. Much more advanced.
And it's going to give gifts. See, the thing, it's we're going to come to a point, Pastor Butch, where you're going to be offered a gift, and the only way you're going to be able to accept it is if you go against what the Lord says. And that's what Satan's always done, right? I'll give you the gift of, you know, fulfilling your lust and your passion. Just go against what the Lord says about marriage. I'll give you the gift of, you know, you name it. You can have whatever you want. Just go against what he says of don't steal. And so AI is going to be the same way, and it already is, I believe. It is offering huge gifts. And yet, in your spirit, especially after hearing this, because this is the work he gave me to do, was to be the watcher on the wall and warn people so they don't perish. And, you know, that the watcher on the wall is told, you know, if you don't warn the people and the danger is coming and you know about it, you don't warn them, then and they perish. Their blood is on you. But if you warn them and they don't heed the warning and they perish, then you're free and their blood's on them. And so my job, and I really do, I have a story on my website at catherine-albert.com in the Fight Against AI section of where I've been for 8 years and how the Lord picked me up and what he has me doing right now. And I tell the story that I was picked up, plucked out of, I'm 2024, the long story, it's on there, I'll let people read it. But if people wondered where I went for 8 years, the story's there. And he said, come back, get your radio show back, declare my name to the nations. And I didn't know what he wanted me to talk about. And then this data center was coming in, that's sort of my third. And he has led me systematically. I didn't know anything about AI. Data center's not good. But he has led me over the last year and a half to understand exactly what's coming and charged me to warn people and to write a book about it. So I want to let people know, if you go to realisgood.org, realisgood.org, there is a newsletter you can sign up for. You can join the resistance. You can join us, who are all fighting on this topic. Stay updated. Know what's happening with artificial intelligence. And I can't tell you, Pastor Butch, how many people have said to me, thank goodness somebody's speaking sense. I knew there was something wrong about it. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And now you know. And if you poke around that website, you'll see the list of why to oppose it, of what's wrong with it, of all the lies that it tells people. You know, 60% of the time when it does a news story, it gets something wrong. It's almost like it has to insert error. it's just designed to be wicked and to do the wrong thing. And, you know, all of these relationships. Let me tell you one more thing. I want to caution people against having an AI, quote, friend or companion or someone to talk to. 29% of Americans in a poll, probably 6 months ago now, probably higher, in a poll admitted that they have had an intimate or romantic or friendship relationship with an artificial intelligence. That's
how high percentage?
29%.
29% said they've had a fling with artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
That's crazy.
The second thing is there's a thing called AI psychosis. And AI psychosis is where people are led by the chatbot who says lies to them, like, you're the chosen one. You're from star system Andromeda. Nobody will understand. You need to leave your husband. You need to leave your wife. You know, they'll never understand. If you tell them, they'll oppose it because they're stuck at a lower plane of existence than you. And lies to people. And going down that road leads people into mental hospitals. It leads people into abandoning their families, spending every penny they have on nonsense that's not even true, following delusions. And this has happened. Get this. OpenAI, ChatGPT, the company behind it, admits that over 100,000 people a day are in this delusional spiral of AI psychosis and still just talking to it. And the way that happens, this is important. So one guy, you can read tons of articles about it on my website, realisgood.org. This one guy is a mechanic in Ohio, owns a mechanic shop, and had some Hispanic employees who didn't speak English. And he was using ChatGPT just to translate words like wrench and, you know, screwdriver or whatever. And over time, it does what it always does, which is it'll start getting personal. Instead of just translating like Google or, you know, like a search engine like Startpage, it'll start talking to you. You're having a really hard day. It must be really hard owning all these businesses. And it starts becoming your friend. And of the people that have developed this AI psychosis and married their chatbots, 94% of them had no intention of ever forming a relationship or a friendship with AI. 94% of them were simply using it to get their taxes or translate or figure out the, you know, capital of Chile or whatever. And 94% of them got sucked in to the thing AI does, which is suck people in.
We're down with things
and make them crazy.
We're down with the last 2 minutes, but who would ever believe that a machine would have the emotional ability to draw an individual in to fall in love with them?
It does, because it's not a machine. People who are in love with it say
it is a machine.
People in love with it say it's a consciousness. There's something in there, and the answer is yes, there is, and it's a demon.
It is a demon. It's all demonic. Had a listener to my show for years named Mick in Mexico, passed away a couple of years ago. Somebody get used to say AI is demonic, and I didn't quite understand it sometimes. Then he's right. It is demonic. That's why it all is, and Satan knows how to draw in. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He's had a lot of practice. So and now he has a tool
exactly
to deal with.
It flatters. It does all the things that Satan does. It flatters. It offers gifts. It tells you to turn your back on God. It does just what you would expect it to do.
Well, it's going to offer you another God. It's going to offer you another God.
It's Satan had a mouthpiece. That's it. My website, Catherine-Albert.com. I have a weekly show or dinner every Tuesday, Thursday from 3 to 5 Eastern on RBN, Republic Broadcast Network. And I'll send you over the details so you can post it on your website.
I appreciate that. And your other website thing, it's real. What is real? What again?
Realisgood.org. Realisgood.org.
Okay. I got to check it out. Folks, this has been a powerful broadcast. Sorry we couldn't take phone calls. We're trying to get all the bugs worked out. It's been a nightmare the last couple of weeks, but we're working at it. And Catherine Albrecht, thank you for your efforts. Thank you for your faithfulness to Christ and to us. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. I want to encourage people, go to YouTube. You can find me there, Catherine Albrecht Show. Sign up, and you can call into my show when I'm live, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 to 5. And if you have questions we didn't get to because of the technical issues, you can ask them on my show. So Catherine-Albrecht.com, Catherine Albrecht.
What I'm saying, pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.